Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
July 3rd, 2007, The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, back on the road again, more vacation packing. Welcome back to the show. I have a special interview for you today. Colleen Wheeler, who is the book editor in the digital media group at O'Reilly Media, and who is also a photographer, is getting ready to hit the road for 2 weeks in Ireland. Now, I thought this was a great opportunity for us to get together and talk a little bit about vacation packing. So that's what we did. So I have this interview. It's just coming up here in a couple minutes. I just want to mention a couple things about our virtual camera club, and then we'll get right to the chat with Colleen. So the photo assignment for June is over, before and after, and boy, I've started working on the gallery, and this is going to be cool. You're really going to like this gallery and checking it out. But it's time to start thinking about our July assignment too, and that will be pattern. Pattern will be our July photo assignment. I have a sample shot. I'll throw it up on the weblog to kind of give you an idea. But pattern can be just about anything. And remember, one of my favorite tips that I learned from Jay Mazel is that pattern is really interesting when you disrupt it. So there's a little tip as you think about this month's photo assignment, which is pattern. But remember, the really interesting pattern is pattern that is disrupted. So anyway, so that's our photo assignment for July. Start thinking about it. Keep your eyes open so that when you're walking around with your camera, you can find the perfect shot to send in. Keep those grab shots coming in. Don't forget to check out our Flickr public group. We've got lots going on over there. Not only do we have discussions going on, we've got lots of photos, and it's really a nice place for us to hang out and get to know each other and share our work. And thanks to Boink Software, the makers of Photo Magico, the best slideshow software in the world, and the good folks over at ExpoDisc that make the best way to use your custom white balance so that you always get accurate color. All right, so there is our virtual camera club business for this week. Let's get to that interview with Colleen and talk about getting ready for the road. Well, I'm here today with Colleen Wheeler, and she is a book editor for O'Reilly Media. She works with a lot of photographers and designers, and she's also a photographer herself and has been packing for a trip to Ireland. So we were sort of having this conversation at work the other day about her preparations. I was going, wow, this is a good show here. People always like the vacation packing show during the summer. So I thought we would get together and chat a little bit about her upcoming trip. How are you doing today, Colleen?
I'm doing very well, thank you. And you're very generous to call me a photographer, knowing how recently I purchased my first camera when you forced me to do it 2 years ago before I edited your book.
You have a son who plays baseball. He plays in Little League Baseball. And now you're using a digital SLR. You've got a couple of lenses. You have documented his entire baseball season and have even presented a slideshow to the baseball team. So I think you're really definitely in the photography category now.
Oh, so that's what qualifies me, having gone through the trial by fire of putting together a season-long slideshow.
That's right. Anyone who actually drags a laptop computer and a 23-inch cinema display to the team party to show the slideshow, complete with Bose stereo speakers, I think has graduated into the serious photography world.
Thank you. It was all worth it.
So let's talk a little bit about Ireland. So first thing is that, you know, as with any big trip like this, you want to make sure you have everything, but you don't want to take everything you own. I mean, you're trying to walk that balance between portability and being prepared. So the first place I want to start, what was your camera strategy? What camera or cameras did you decide to take on this trip?
Well, I went to Ireland last year with my little Canon PowerShot that was 2 years old, and it was fun. But as you pointed out, in the meantime, I've become addicted to taking actual real pictures. And so I knew that this time I wanted to take a DSLR and some lenses, and you know, I've already done the touristy shots. I want to be able to be a little more expressive, a little more creative with what I'm doing while I'm there. That said, you can't go sightseeing with a big, I'm going with my whole extended family, and I don't always want to be the one with the big camera around my neck, because I think that has a whole bunch of connotations to it too. You know, you end up being the pressures on you for the documentation of the whole trip. So I'm borrowing a Digital Rebel. I don't own my own DSLR yet, so I'm not sure I'm really in that photographer category entirely yet. So I'm borrowing a Rebel XT from a good friend of mine and a couple of lenses. And then I bought the Panasonic LX2, which has the Leica lens. And the little trick there was that not being a professional photographer and having to, I saved $100 on not needing the Leica brand. I went with the Panasonic, which is the same camera. And then I saved another $100 when I settled on silver instead of black. And in my mind, you know, a compact camera should be silver. It alleviates you from some of that pressure that I was talking about. So I'm taking that, and then I'm passing on that Canon PowerShot to my 11-year-old son, who will be with me. And I really want him to feel free to take movies with it, because he takes fun movies. And I think those will end up being the family movies that really bring back the experience of the trip with all of us together, that kind of dynamic. So three cameras.
Three cameras, and two of them have the ability to record movies. So you're pretty well set that way. What was some of your thinking when you were looking? Because I know you looked at a lot of compact cameras. What were some of the things that finally led you to the LX2, which I think is a great camera?
Well, actually, I started at the LX2 before I had a DSLR. And the reason for that was that it shoots RAW. So I had sort of identified that as a little bit of a compromise between buying a camera that was appropriate for my skill level and needs, but still having access to raw images of my own that I could use at work to kind of experiment. You know, I like, if I'm reading a book on RAW or I'm just finished this gorgeous book on Lightroom, I want my own system to kind of check how it works. I feel like I'm supposed to be the advocate for the reader, so I'm supposed to have some sense of what their experience is. And if I'm borrowing a bunch of RAW photos from another photographer, which is what I did in the past, I'm not having that same experience. So I had identified the LX2 some time ago as probably a good middle of the road thing that would solve a lot of my problems. And the screen was beautiful. I had seen the screen on my sister's Panasonic, and this is the same. And I also knew this was sort of the camera that all my pro photographer friends would approve of. I'd had so many conversations, and when it comes down to it, that's the one they all carry around. So I returned to it, especially when I found it for a pretty good price.
Now, one of the things I really like about that Panasonic, I'm thinking about you traveling to Ireland and, you know, some of the beautiful landscapes and, you know, in addition to the people shots you'll get, and having that true 16x9 dimensions that it has. I mean, you know, that camera shoots beautiful 16x9, both movies and stills, yeah. And you can shoot 16x9 raw. So I think you're going to have a lot of fun with it. It's a fairly compact camera. I mean, the lens doesn't retract all the way into the body. It protrudes a little bit, but generally speaking, it's something that you can carry in your jacket pocket.
Well, I have a solution for that, which I've shown you, which is it was a little bit hard to find a case for it. You, with a compact camera, you sort of want the form factor of the case to be smooth and elegant, and yet this lens does not retract all the way. So I came up with a solution of a fairly bulky case, but that can be left open and stick into my bag, which I'll be carrying anyway, that has passports and money. And it's a small little messenger bag. And this fits inside that and actually kind of gives the whole thing that feel that a camera bag has, because suddenly there's padding everywhere with the heavy padding smack in the middle, everything gets padded, and most importantly, the camera, and yet I can still pull it out at a moment's notice.
So this gets in actually, so now this is a good segue into the actual, packing. I took a picture of her carry around, and I'll put that in the show notes so you can see what it looks, but it's a pretty clever system. It's a system that I like, and basically it's using bags within bags as what Colleen is doing. So she has a little crumpler pouch that's a little bulky, but it works really nicely for holding the LX2. And that goes in a little bit larger, almost a purse-size crumpler bag that allows you to put your, you got a trio, right? Yeah. And your glasses and some other things in that. And so that you can pull the little camera pouch out individually. It has a strap carried around, or you can carry the whole sort of crumpler small messenger bag. And then all of that fits in another laptop bag, right?
Exactly. That fits in my LowPro CompuPack bag that I just absolutely love, with room for a laptop and then all the camera. It basically has a full-fledged camera bag in the bottom of it. And then it has a fairly good-sized other pouch that actually fits this particular messenger bag inside it. And when it's all done, it sounds, huge and you're carrying the world, but it really feels sleek and light for as much value as you get out of all the things you're carrying. I mean, I made a list of all the things I was taking with me on this trip, because the other thing is I'm going to a family reunion. And one of the things I thought would be nice as a gift for the hostess or the organizer of this, my Irish second cousin once removed, would be to take photographs and actually print them. So I'm also taking a little 4x6 printer. And then I figured I would take photographs at the reunion and put them together in an album for her that I would leave, when we went off on the rest of our trip. And then I have two phones, one for me and one for my son. My plan is to leave one of them on my regular plan and then change one of them over to an Irish SIM card. So I have both local and international capabilities. And then my son's Game Boy. I laid out all my electronic equipment in a staging area, and it was absolutely hilarious. I mean, including three battery chargers for the cameras and six total batteries, which led me to this question that I was going to ask you, which is it okay to store the spare battery in the charger as, just sort of a transport device, or do you really feel like you need to pull it out and put it inside a little plastic thing like they recommend? Because it would be great it seems extremely efficient to leave it sitting in there, and then they all stack up, and you know where it's going to be, and you just swap it out when it comes time to recharge. I like this, as long as there's nothing technically wrong with leaving it in there.
Well, I will answer that question. We will let's catch up a little bit on the technical details. So the bag that you have is the LowPro CompuDayPack. And it's a bag that I've written about for Macworld magazine, and it's actually one of my favorite LowPro bags because it can accommodate up to a 17-inch laptop. It has a front area that's great for storing, whatever you want. It could be hard drives and cables and stuff, or it could be personal items.
Right.
And then it has the bottom area that's perfect for storing camera gear. So, and the nice thing about it does fit under the seat on an airplane, and it fits nice in the overhead. So if you're packing really light, just a laptop, let's say a Digital Rebel or a Nikon D40, a compact camera, and maybe just one or two lenses, you can actually take everything you need in that one bag. So it's really cool. You have a Trio, 680?
A red one.
Yeah. So you have a Trio, and so that's important because that's a GSM phone, and it's a quad band. So that means that it has is capable of receiving all the frequencies both in the U.S. and in Europe. So when you do go over to Europe, you can put in a SIM card, and that you can access all of their networks there. Plus, you did a little research. You have AT&T, I believe, and they actually have a function on their site where you can check the services available in the areas that you're in. That was kind of cool.
It was. It was really cool because I was worried that I would be searching through pages and pages of FAQs, where you're looking for that one piece of information you need. And they actually have a travel guide where you put in your phone and where you're going. You can set an itinerary that includes multiple countries. And then you go to the next page and it gives you a list of whether your phone is going to work in those countries, both for phone and for data. And then there's a details column for each individual country where you can click on it to get rate information and find out, you know, what the difference between roaming or if you joined their special work world calling plan or text messaging. You know, there are different rates for all of those things, and it lists all of that all in one place in a way that seems really reassuring, like, yes, I've got the correct information.
That's very nice, because that allows you to stay in contact while you're gone. And I believe your other phone is a latest generation Motorola Razr, which is also a quad band, so you guys are in pretty good shape that way. In terms of the battery charger, I do like to store the battery in the charger when I'm traveling. I haven't noticed any discharge problems doing that, and it's just, again, very efficient. Suddenly, you've got one less thing to lose. Everything is there together. You pull out the dying battery out of your camera. You put in the fresh battery, you just swap them out, and off you go. Now, one thing I wanted to say about charging in Europe, if you're an American traveler, is that almost all of our chargers are both 120 and 220. So all you really need are the adapter prongs, for your chargers, and that includes almost all laptop chargers too. They're almost all 120 and 220 also. A trick that I like to do, and it's something that we've talked about, is where you actually take a converter also, and then you take a power strip. And I like outlets to go, I think, you know, because it's very compact. So then you can plug the converter into the wall, and you plug the power strip into the converter. Then everything that's anything that you plug into that power strip there then has been converted to, you know, your 120. So you don't have to worry about it at all. It's really a nice way to go, and it's nice and compact. But for the most part, I always just make sure I have a handful of just plug adapters, because most of the stuff I carry would work fine in Europe as long as I had the right prongs.
So would that work without the adapter? If you knew everything you were going to plug into the power strip could do its own adaptation, can you just plug the power strip into the prong converter and then suddenly have four outlets that are basically on the local electric current system, but that all of the things you plug into it are capable of taking that voltage?
That does work. You have to be careful to make sure. And then the other thing, a lot of times power strips have three prongs. They have the ground plug also. And so sometimes that's a little awkward, because the converters, you know, the straight adapters that we have are two prongs. And so if you can shop and find a good three-prong one, which it looks like you've done that, then I think you're in really good shape.
Yeah, I found one the other day and specifically looked for one with the ground plug. And you know, you think, okay, yeah, I'm settling this, and you just never know. You still, I think the ultimate thing is you have to be flexible once you get there. And I do have an adapter device too, but I'm really sort of imagining that most of my needs will be about recharging phones, computers, cameras. And so I'm thinking that just the adapter plus the power strip is going to work in most cases for me.
Yeah, it really, I had really good luck when I travel in Europe that way. And then on top of that, my phone's a Sony Ericsson. It's a European phone. So I actually have an adapter for it for the U.S. So when I travel in Europe, I actually get to take the adapter off and plug it right into the wall, which for some reason just delights me. What other challenges have you had or things that have gone through your mind?
I am expecting a fairly high cold humidity. And I'm wondering if, I figure you're the guy to go to for the best advice on how to protect the equipment from that, how to still have it usable. I mean, in and out of plastic bags, is that going to work? How does that work?
Well, if it's not cold, that alleviates one of the problems. So condensation is a problem. But I don't think you're going to have that. I think you're just going to be dealing with straight moisture. So obviously you want to have a variety of Ziploc bags, because, you know, those are just totally essential for transporting your gear, you know, in and out of wetness. Now, when you're actually shooting, What I like to do is take a shower cap or two, because the thing I like about shower caps is they have, you know, that elastic opening, and then you can just cut a hole in the other end to stick your lens through, and you can actually shoot in really wet conditions with the shower cap, and it works fabulously. You know, I think sometimes people think that cameras are more sensitive to moisture than they really are. Most of the well-made cameras, like the cameras that you're taking, can take some moisture. You know, so you don't have to baby them too much while you're out shooting. You can shoot in the mist and so forth. What I do like to do is always maybe carry a little hand towel, or I like to carry bandanas to wipe them down before I put them back in the bag. So Ziploc bags, shower caps, rubber bands, because these rubber bands are always totally useful for all of this, and then a couple bandanas or thin towels, and I think you'd be in pretty good shape.
That's good. So that's the, because I was going to say, if it does get exposed to some moisture, which it inevitably will, what's the best way to make sure it recovers quickly from that? I mean, would you then get back to your hotel or whatever and then take the camera out of the bag and sort of let it air dry in as healthy environment as possible? Make sure you take it back out of the bag. Because I could see this system of bags within bags or dressing in layers for electronics to be to kind of hold some of the moisture in if you're not careful.
Yeah, I do. I let everything just sort of air out. I pull stuff out. I wipe it down again. And I just have it out, and then that sort of helps remind me to charge the batteries, offload the memory cards, and do all that sort of stuff. And then usually first thing in the morning or before I go to bed at night, I'll just pack everything. If I got a early morning shoot, I'll pack back up before I go to bed, just so I'm not so good at packing first thing in the morning, so I'll pack up before I go to bed. But I actually do let things air out, yeah.
Speaking of packing up, is there a desirable, I would assume that I know the answer to this, but I was thinking about this the other day, for a longer lens, you know, a zoom lens that has all these different positions, is there a desirable position to store lenses in for moving around, or just in general? I mean, as I put it away, I think the instinct is to retract it all the way. But I would imagine also, if it does get exposed to moisture, it's better to leave it as spread out as it can to sort of let it air dry as easily as possible.
I do travel with it retracted. And if I am shooting in damp conditions, again, I'll just wipe it down before I put it back in the bag, and then I'll let it air out. And, you know, lens hoods are really handy in wet conditions too, because they help keep drops from going on the front of your lens. And hopefully you have a filter over the front of your lenses to protect them. But that way you don't get drops, because sometimes a drop can get on the front of your lens and it will distort the picture and you don't really realize it. And then doggone it, if it always isn't in exactly the wrong place, like the middle of someone's face. So lens hoods are handy for just keeping the front of the lens dry too.
So I'm looking down my list. Oh, you know, I wrote down here annoyance about ordering that paper from Amazon. This is totally not about traveling, except that when you're traveling, you're on a deadline and everything has to be squared away before you go. And with the paper that I needed for this printer, Amazon was selling this bundle of the printer that I already have and this kit with the paper. And it turns out that they don't go together in real life. So I ordered just the kit, and it turned out that it was the wrong thing for my, and you know, so basically what I'm saying is, don't assume that those bundling advertisements on Amazon have been thought through from a specs point of view. Make sure that you actually read the specs and get the thing, especially when you have to get on a plane and you don't have time or access to, you know, that you need to have everything when you go. So I've had to scurry and get the right paper and bemoan the fact that I have a printer kit that doesn't belong to my printer.
Actually, that's a good tip. And I want to talk about the printer for a minute, because I thought that was a good idea. So you're taking a little, I believe it's a Canon Selfie die sub printer. They're very compact. They come in, when you get the right paper, they come in kits. So you get the ribbon and the 4x6 sheets, and then the whole thing packs up nice and compact. And you can either print directly from your camera, if you're shooting JPEG, and your camera has a picked bridge, which almost all of them do these days, you can just run a USB cord directly from your camera and actually set up the print job in your camera and output directly. So that's a nice thing if you don't want to travel with a laptop. Now, in your case, I believe you are traveling with a laptop, so then you can also connect the printer to the laptop, and you can do a little image editing and so forth, and then output from the laptop. So it's a really nice little system. And the cool thing about the DieSub prints is they're archival. They actually put a UV coating over the top of them. So not only do they last a long time and not fade, that you can handle them and so forth, and you don't have to worry about fingerprints. I think it's really cool that you're going to go over there, you're going to make the prints and actually put together a little album to leave behind.
Well, also, I like the idea that I get all the information, all the personal metadata, which for a print really just has to be writing on the back of the print, right? So for somebody, you know, that I'm leaving it behind for people that aren't using computers. But it is information you want to remember. Who is this person? How are they related to me? And so it seems a great opportunity to also document everything on the spot and really have an amazing family heirloom right away of all these pictures. I mean, there was some question, are you really schlepping a printer all the way across the ocean? But as you pointed out, it's a fairly small printer. It'll fit easily in my checked luggage. So I do have a question about the ribbon that you referred to. I was thinking, I haven't really had a chance because it didn't arrive correctly, to analyze the equipment that comes with this printer. And if it were liquid ink, I needed to make sure that I had it in the checked luggage and didn't have to throw it away at the security station because it turns out to be liquid. So those are the interesting kinds of things that you think about. Are you actually telling me that it's a ribbon and I wouldn't need to worry about it?
Yeah, actually DieSubs are really good for traveling for a couple reasons. They're not ink. They look like cellophane paper, colored cellophane. So you have magenta and yellow and cyan, basically cellophane paper that's applied to the printing paper, you know, via heat. So they're very nice. You can travel with them. You don't have to worry about ink, you know, spilling into your clothes and your other gear. You don't have to worry about any liquid restrictions. And they're fairly resistant to environmental conditions also. So it's a really great choice for traveling, and you don't have to worry about it at all.
Well, that's good to know for the future. I'll be checking the printer this time, but I could see being in a situation where you were doing a quick overnight and you didn't want to check your luggage, then this printer would be compliant with the TSA regulations, which is just good to know when you want to run through an airport and get through quickly.
Yeah, as I recall, so you have an extra battery for all your cameras, and you've got plenty of memory. You've got flash memory, and you're taking your laptop so that you'll be able to offload your images onto your laptop. I think you're using Lightroom, right?
Yeah, I'm using the brand new Lightroom 1.1. I've got to get that downloaded and ready to go on my computer today.
And so, like you said, since it's a family reunion you're going to be shooting, you know, you want to take advantage of the metadata capabilities of Lightroom and get as much caption information and keywording as you can on the spot. Also, you know, one thing that I recommend, since your Panasonic and your son's Canon, you know, have movie modes, make sure that you get people talking. Make sure that you get, and especially people who might not be around another 5 or 6 years. You can even pull out, you know, when you're shooting in movie mode on these cameras, you can always pull out the audio track and put it as part of a slideshow or something. So make sure that you capture movies in addition to your still photos, because once you have all that raw content, there's a lot of interesting things you can do with it when you get home.
That's a great tip. I really like that. And one of the things I really wanted to do is make sure that I had a big card for this hand-me-down, because I think an 11-year-old perspective in movies is going to be really interesting.
I think you're ready to go. Yeah. I'm just will you do us one favor? I'm going to put you on the spot here. Will you do us one favor? When you get back from Ireland, will you post some shots to the Digital Story Flickr public group?
I will. It's the least I could do for letting me come by and ask my questions.
your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.